Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On this program, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're skeptic about faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we like to do on this program. We share the Word. We pray that God will open up your heart to receive it today, and it will bless you. Today's scripture reading. We'd like to start the program with a scripture reading. I'm going to have two that I'm going to share with you, and I need to tell you, full disclosure, they are two scripture that really ground me into what I am supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be living. The first one comes from the Gospel of Mark, and these are words of Jesus, Mark 10:45. This is about serving. This is what Jesus says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. And that's where I mess up so frequently. And this verse brings me back, reminds me of how it's supposed to be done for me, again, and I hope for our listeners, to serve, to serve, to serve. Did not come to be served, but to serve. The second scripture reading comes from the Apostle Paul in his book to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, goes like this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. Paul writes about it. Jesus walked it out and lived it. Again, thanks for joining us on the program. Wanted to let you know we have all of our podcasts loaded up on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break. We got John Quisenberry with us today. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I'm Raymond Klein, director of Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ, which bridges the gap between helping hands and people in need by mobilizing people and churches to help transform lives and communities in the name of Christ. Join us on Friday, June the 7th at our fundraising dinner with special guest speaker Ruth Graham. It will be held at Covenant Church of God on East Ryle Road. For more information, visit us at loveincseville.org. That's loveincseville.org.
He's the first name in talk radio.
Rush Limbaugh giving you tomorrow's news today while we provoke the media and the rest of the left with incontrovertible truth.
The mission is clear.
To protect and defend the principles that form the foundation of our country.
Keep it right here for the next Rush Limbaugh radio program.
Don't miss it. Fireworks guaranteed. See you then.
Weekdays at noon on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program, back with us, he's a regular, John Quisenberry. John, amongst other things, is head of the Charlottesville House of Prayer. John, thanks for being on the program.
It's good to be here, Jeff.
Man, I love to just hang out with you. And last week we had Randy Martinez in, and we were prepping for your conference. Let's start there. Tell us how the conference went with Randy Martinez and what was it, Fanning the Flames of Revival?
Lighting the Fires of Revival, the Charlottesville House of Prayer this past weekend. Over at the Connect Church location, it was a great conference, Jeff. It's unique in that it's a mixture of worship, teaching, and then encounter. Our goal is not to just meet and talk about Jesus like he's not in the room. We're really interested in meeting with him. So we spend about an hour in the evenings worshiping, just worshiping. And what we find is that draws us close to the Lord. And it was just amazing. The worship leaders, Kim Hagar, Stephanie
Kim.
Bowman.
She's been on the program.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie's been on
Bowman.
The program.
They're awesome worship leaders. Evan Kieran is another one. He led some worship. Anyway, entering into a time where we're face-to-face with the Lord in worship, that creates intimacy. And the Lord said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So there's a response that happens there. So the weekend was that way. We spent time worshiping. Randy had a real excellent teaching, as well as Saturday night was kind of a neat surprise. There was a real impartation of the Lord's presence and joy. And that's going to be really hard to describe, because it was a unique event, which was a powerful thing. But overall, the conference was just amazing.
For any of our listeners who maybe they have not experienced this worship that you described just a moment ago, could you maybe go just slightly deeper on that? And what I have found for me, and I will, our listeners know this, is that that revelation harp and bowl type worship has been new to me as well,
right.
I have found what that does for me, and I'm interested in your take on this. Is it immediately grabs a hold of my heart and starts to pull it and tug it and realign it.
Absolutely. Well, worship is what we were created for. We pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, God surrounds himself with worship. So we pray, Lord, do on earth what you're doing in heaven. Well, when we worship, we actually enter into that event that's going on in heaven. I can't describe it except that we were created for it. And when we enter into worship of God, now, other cultures understand worship. Americans were, because of the university system and being kind of rationally based, we think in terms of what is this going to accomplish. But if we look at the rest of the world, Eastern folks, they understand worship, what it means to enter into a place of drawing close to God. Hindus chant, Buddhists chant, you know, Muslims, they're a worship culture. They're worship cultures. And in the United States now, the average time for corporate worship is 4 minutes on a Sunday morning. All the prayer meetings have been, most of them have gone away. Most of the times of worship have been decreased to 3 songs on a Sunday morning. And the reality is that we were born for this, and we actually enter into fellowship with the Lord, drawing close to him. He draws close to us. So there's something truly that happens, but it's not necessarily what happens in our hearts. It's our ministry to the Lord. As we come before him and we worship him, our goal is to bless his heart. And of course, we get that too.
Amen. For any of our listeners that don't know about the Charlottesville House of Prayer, can you talk a little bit about that and anything you guys have going on?
Well, the Charlottesville House of Prayer is a presence-based community. The focus of meeting and gathering together with other believers in any instance is to encounter God and be with other people. But the Charlottesville House of Prayer is kind of like a clearinghouse where people all over the city, we have 21 different churches, 8 different denominations that I know of, you know, people coming together, non-denominational people who don't even go to church, and we gather for worship and prayer. And that's because prayer is what the early apostles devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And because they devoted themselves to those things, the power of God showed up in signs and wonders. And we believe in this. We don't believe that that's over. We believe that as we draw close to him and as we encounter him, as we worship, as we learn how to speak to God and hear, mostly hearing from God is what we practice. And as we hear God, then we can enter into faith, because faith comes by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the rhema. The word there is not Bible.
Right.
It's rhema. It's the spoken word of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So the focus of the House of Prayer is to enter into a place of hearing, to worship him where he is, not try to bring him down to our level, but in his exalted place as King of the universe, as our bridegroom, Jesus. The whole idea of bridegroom, people get kind of freaked out, but Jesus isn't coming back for servants or brothers. He's coming back for a bride. And that relationship of a bride to a bridegroom is different than sons to a father or brothers to another brother. There's a love and adoration relationship that we cultivate and we feel is important for us in the relationship that that the Lord desires for us. So
this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have John Quisenberry with us on the program from the Charlottesville House of Prayer. Let me touch down on Randy Martinez. For any of our listeners, Randy came in, was on the program last weekend, so you can check that out on the podcast. He was also the featured speaker at the Charlottesville House of Prayer Conference this weekend. What takeaways? I mean, I got a ton from Randy, but I'm wondering what was your main takeaway from your time with Randy?
Well, there's a lot of things. The thing that sits on the top of my mind is knowing the mandate or knowing the goal of Jesus on the earth. Jesus' goal is that his name be known on the earth, that he be revealed. The Bible says the gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then he's going to come. Mm. So, and he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then immediately after that statement, he says, and then you'll be my witnesses. So what hits me from the weekend is that if we're asking for power, if we're asking for God to show up, then we need to know what that power is for. Mm-hmm. And so the destiny of God's intention in our lives is not for us to become a stagnant pool of his grace, but that he empowers those who have his heart, which is to reflect and to reveal his glory on the earth. So my takeaway is this. The reason that we seek God is not just for ourselves, but so that we can reveal his glory and extend his kingdom on the earth.
I love it. Let me talk about some of the signs and wonders that Randy has experienced, particularly in the Middle East. And let me start with, why do you think he sees so much in the Middle East and maybe we don't see it as much here, or is that just a myth?
Well, in Jesus' hometown, he could do no miracles. When you read that scripture, you kind of pass over it and kind of move on to the places where Jesus did miracles. But when Jesus arrived in his hometown, there was no expectation of him. Mm. Here's the local kid. You know, we know his mother. We know his, you know. And Jesus taught them and hung out with them. But it says he could do no miracles. That means that Jesus put his hands on people and they were not healed. Mm. Now, that's what the scripture says, that he could do no miracles except heal a few. So I think that we need to realize that Jesus in America exists in this way, that there is minimal expectation for Jesus to do anything other than just give us some good ideas or inspire us. Mm. I have people from overseas saying to me, you know, when we come to America, we don't see the miracles anymore. And I said, well, why is that? He said, you've got UVA. You can just go over to UVA. Mm-hmm. Instead of being healed, you can just go to UVA. And I said, well, that doesn't sound like a good spiritual answer. Mm. But the reality is that where is our trust? Who do we seek? What's our expectation? The Bible clearly says that if you trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. Mm. He'll make straight. It's pretty clear where most of our expectation is. It's in other places.
Jesus talks about the faith of the centurion.
Oh my.
And the centurion in that story in the Bible, the centurion, Roman soldier, commander, comes up to Jesus and says that one of my servants is ill. He's my favorite servant. Can you come heal him? And Jesus says, yes, I'll come. And then the centurion stops Jesus and says, well, you don't actually have to come. By your word, yeah. I understand authority, and by your word, you shall be healed. And Jesus was blown away by that. And he's something to the effect of faith like this I haven't seen.
Right, right. Well, there were two places in the Bible where it says Jesus was amazed. And that's one of the instances where he was amazed at the faith of this guy. Mm-hmm. Then there's an instance where he was amazed at their lack of faith, where he's in a situation where he feels like, don't you believe? Like, okay, but it's true. It's true. I love hanging with military people because they understand the chain of command.
Right.
You know, it's awesome because whenever I'm talking with somebody who's been in the military, they understand that you don't have authority to do anything you want. You have to understand and walk under the authority that is over you. And when you get out of the military, you still retain that. And so I'm feeling more and more like I need to operate in this way. What are you saying, Lord? What are you doing? What's your intention in this situation? That's faith. It's just knowing what God wants. It's not, I'm going to try to get more faith. Mm-hmm. You're just working on hope. Faith is hearing God. Faith mm-hmm. comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of our interview with John Quisenberry from the Charlottesville House of Prayer.
I'm Raymond Klein, director of Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ, which bridges the gap between helping hands and people in need by mobilizing people in churches to help transform lives and communities in the name of Christ. Join us on Friday, June the 7th at our fundraising dinner with special guest speaker Ruth Graham. It will be held at Covenant Church of God on East Ryle Road. For more information, visit us at loveincseville.org. That's loveincseville.org.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
And the deep state, you abusing power. They're not serving the people either. They're abusing the powerful tools of intelligence we give them. So my plan is that we're going to have Hannity watch on the deep state, Hannity watch border security, Hannity watch on what's good for the economy, Hannity watch on what's good for national security, and everything else we could think of.
The Sean Hannity Show. Afternoons at 3 on WCHV.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program, back with us, is my friend John Quisenberry of the Charlottesville House of Prayer. John, I want to talk a little bit more about the conference that you just had and the interview that we had with Randy Martinez on the show. I want to touch down on this point. He said that in the Middle East, where he's been stationed as a revivalist, the Lord is speaking through dreams, and many Muslim converts are experiencing Jesus through dreams. And Randy told several stories about how people would show up and they would ask, well, what brought you here? And the answer was, I had a dream, and the man dressed in white told me to come here.
Right.
I want to tell a quick story that I've mentioned on this program before, because I got chills when Randy gave that story. My father-in-law, Frank Kessler, experienced Jesus when he was in a deep coma.
Whoa.
He almost died.
Wow.
And in the coma, Jesus visited him. And when he came out of the coma, first words from my father-in-law to my wife, Mo Gaffney, was that he met Jesus. And my father-in-law was not the type of man that would have known the chapter in Revelation that describes Jesus in white with the gold sash.
Right.
And my wife asked her father, said, you know, tell me about the encounter. And his response was, Jesus told me not to be afraid. that I wasn't going to die, but that I was going to leave the hospital in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And all that proved to be true.
Wow.
That he had an infection that led to paralysis from his chest down, and which ended up, as odd as this sounds, in some way being a blessing, because he didn't feel all the pain of the cancer that he was suffering as a result of that. But anyway,
that's a powerful testimony.
The story of him, of my father-in-law, Frank Kessler, meeting the man in white led to my own personal interest in, tell me, and I heard that story many times from Mr. Kessler, and I asked him lots of detailed questions about it, and it really started to spur my own faith to pursue that right. man in white. And maybe you could touch down on our listeners if you want to add to anything that Randy had to say about some of the dreams and encounters that our Muslim friends are receiving in the Middle East.
Well, as you know, the ministry to Muslim nations over the years has been very limited. The ability of Christian missionaries to do traditional mission work in these nations has been very limited. Some people go for 20 years, they'll pray, they'll get one person to listen to them, and they'll leave the field without having any converts. And what's interesting about this is that the traditional ministry among the Islamic nations doesn't work. But to contrast that, we read in the Bible where just about everybody that you can think about, Peter had a vision, saw the sheet being brought down. John, the whole book of Revelation is a vision, you know. Here's Philip, who just baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, and crazy thing, all of a sudden he's in another city. Okay, when we read the New Testament and we say we're Christians, we're followers of Jesus, we have to understand what that means. Because the idea is that you can be a Christian without experiencing supernatural things. And that's really only a Western reality. If you go to places where Randy is, there's an expectation that God is supernatural, and if you're going to experience Him, it has to be supernatural. Something supernatural has to happen. So visions and dreams are an expected part of their experience. If God's going to show up, He'll show up in that way. Mm. I mean, in a praying culture, you expect God to show up by means of illumination, revelation, by praying. So God does show up in what we consider to be special ways in other places, but they're not special. They're actually biblical. Mm. And so actually, I want to say this, and this sounds harsh, but in the United States, we have low expectations of God, and we shut down our vision, shut down our ability to see things. I myself, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I've had several visions. Mm. In fact, I've asked the Lord, show me things in the eyes of my heart. The Bible says that we would fix our eyes on the unseen things, because those are the things that are not passing away, but that we would not fix our eyes on the things which are seen, because they're passing away. So we're supposed to train our eyes to see things that are unseen. I could just go through it. Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, and then all the, you know, prays, you know, that you might be able to know Him that's unknowable. I mean, we talk about this spirituality, and we think, what's strange? But yeah, God does show up in supernatural ways, because He's supernatural. And more, I think we're beginning to understand and expect God to show up in these ways. And when we do, when we wait on God and look to see, like in Habakkuk, it says, to look to see what He will say to me, that expectation, we enter into a place where we can hear God in those ways, and it becomes less strange.
Hmm. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with John Quisenberry on the program today. John, I'm going to hit you with a question. I just always kind of curious about this. If you could pick anywhere in the Bible for you to sort of parachute yourself down into that time, any story, any situation, Old Testament, New Testament, where it just pick a spot. It doesn't have to be like the only one, but what comes to mind? Man, what would you really be interested in seeing?
The John chapter 14, 15, 16, mm-hmm. 17, when Jesus prays for us. Mm-hmm. I would, I'm just being touched right now. If I could hear Him pray those prayers over us, to say, it's good that I go away. Mm. I'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll be in you. He'll guide you into all truth, that you might be one with the Father as I'm one with the Father. To hear Jesus and see Jesus in those moments ministering, those chapters, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, are basically the last words of Jesus, and they echo in my heart daily. Mm. That's what I would pick.
That's good stuff. Now, let me ask you, suppose somebody's wandered onto this program this morning. They don't know Jesus. How would you introduce Jesus to somebody who's just starting to be curious?
Yep. It absolutely goes without saying that we're born with a hole in our heart. We're born with an understanding that there is more. And so we're always seeking for that one thing that's more. So everybody's asking that question, what is there out there? Mm-hmm. And I would say that if you say it with true passionately, truly, God, show yourself. Randy said the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because when he said it, I thought, if you were to say, God, if you're there, if you're listening, show up, do something, show me that you're real. Mm-hmm. He will. Mm-hmm. Now, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of it when God does show up, because this is the prayer that actually the Muslims pray. Mm. When they hear the gospel, they say, okay, Jesus, if you're real, show up. That's when they get the visions and the dreams. Don't be surprised. God's always speaking to us. But if we're open and he's able to reflect his thoughts, then we can hear him. We can know him.
The final kind of series of questions I have for you, John Quisenberry, is concerning our city of Charlottesville. What do you think in terms of what God is doing here and now, 2019, Charlottesville, Virginia? What are you feeling?
Well, it's just so interesting. I felt led to bring this along, but in right before the Revolutionary War, I'm a student of revival. Right before the Revolutionary War, this was Revival Central. Charlottesville, up to Bath County, Dinwiddie, down into North Carolina. During the First Great Awakening, God moved in powerful ways. In fact, I'm reading about this guy, Devereaux Jarrett, talking about how people wept for joy, how people shouted in grief. They stayed up all night praying. There was, you know, I believe that God is preparing his people in this area to be revived. And revival looks different than what we think it does. In fact, if we expect it and we see that, we're probably not getting all of it. Because when God shows up, he shows up in powerful ways. And the fallout of revival is a transformed society. It also has some kind of rough edges. There's some things that happen that we don't quite can't explain. Mm-hmm. All revivals, I'm reading about the First Great Awakening in Virginia, and there were some times they said, I don't understand why people are falling on the floor. I don't understand why people are shouting. I don't understand why people are doing it. The reality is that when revival comes, we can't contain it. We can't say, we're comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. But if we're open and we cry out, God, transform our culture. And that's what we're doing at the House of Prayer. We meet and pray. Say, God, show up however you want to, do what you want to do. He'll do it. And that's what's about to happen. I truly believe it.
Amen. Well, John, I want to pray for you, for the Charlottesville House of Prayer, for our city, for all of our listeners. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. John, thanks so much for joining us.
It's really good to be here, Jeff.
Man, it's great to have you on the show. I want to remind everybody, if you didn't get a chance last week to hear Randy Martinez, we've got him on the podcast, and please visit everydayfaithradio.com. We'd love to get your prayer requests, and if you yourself, maybe you have a Jesus encounter you'd like to share on this program, please reach out to us through the website. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. I hope you have an awesome Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. John Quisenberry, you're the man.
Thanks. Thanks.
See you guys next week.
Heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Fox News and the forecast are coming up after local news first from the Automated Office System studios of WCHV AM and FM Charlottesville.
Good morning, I'm Tim Dotson with your WCHV Local News First, your top story.
Plans to establish a school of data science at the University of Virginia are continuing to move forward. UVA's Faculty Senate voted this past week to create the university's 12th school. According to information published by the university, it is envisioned that the school will offer undergraduate degrees and certificate programs, as well as master's and doctoral degrees. The new school is being supported by a major $120 million donation to the university from the Quantitative Foundation. And 82 suspects are under arrest, and 17 children have been rescued or identified following the conclusion of a multi-state child exploitation Operation Bust. Georgia officials said the operation targeted individuals across 8 states who possessed or distributed child pornography, along